This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. We are in the month of April. By the end of this month, we will be watching NBA playoff games. Can you feel the excitement? I am Andrew Reich. I am joined by Adam Murray. Adam, are you feeling it yet?
Woo!
Well, no, I feel, we can't talk about too many matchups yet in terms of the standings. I mean, Boston will be number one. Nobody knows who will be eight. But I do feel like, even though there's fluidity in terms of who's going to match up with who, that we got some decent teams in the crop.
Do we really? Or yeah, it's just the West, war of attrition?
I think the West is really good.
Well, okay, let's just start in the East then, since it's boring. You forget that Cleveland is the third seed right now. And they're only...
Well, Donovan Mitchell going out with a knee injury for a couple weeks was hurt. That hurt. He's back
but
now.
Just throughout the season, there was no talk about them. It was just still, they wilted in the playoffs last year. Zero buzz around them.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of just weird, under-the-radar type stuff.
They have there's revenge factor there because they disappointed last year against the Knicks. And they might... I don't think it's going to happen, but it's possible they might wind up with the Knicks again in the playoffs. But they would very likely have home court. The standings are close. Orlando, hey, my prediction about Orlando being a four seed still might come true.
There's a chance, but
it's not dead yet. They've got a winning record. We talked about this when we did the previews. I said it at the end of one of our team previews for Orlando. I said, we have had 10 years of this show. We just finished 300 episodes. Amazing. And we have not had a good Orlando Magic season. Well, we finally got one. We lived long enough as podcast hosts to see one.
So that's it. We can retire now. Let's wait for...
We've pretty much seen it all. I think the only thing we haven't seen is the Wizards being an elite team. But that's not until Cooper Flagg shows up. Yeah, like the Pacers, I know that you hated the fact that they tried to slightly improve their defense for the sake of having a lesser offense, but they're a winning team. They're probably going to make the playoffs. Philadelphia, let me ask you this, because by the time we talk, the regular season will be very close to over. Do you think we'll see Joel Embiid before this regular season ends?
My guess would be yes.
Me too. I think that he'll play the last week.
The last week just to get back into playing shape.
I do think they're going to get stuck in the play-in, Adam, Philadelphia. I don't think they're going to be able to rise up into, like, they're four games above 500, but like the bottom, the sixth seed is like, it's a fight between Orlando, Indiana, and Miami for 5, 6, 7. One of those teams is going to wind up in the play-in, but you got to be like 7 or 8 games above 500 in order to get there. And I don't think Philadelphia can do that. They haven't been terrible, but they've just been okay.
Well, there's nothing you could do with injuries, especially to your main guy. And then you do all these trades. What can you know, how do they fit? Well, we don't know because our main guy is out.
Yeah, so. Buddy Hield, Kyle Lowry, they've played well at times.
They played okay, but they haven't been, Buddy Hield hasn't been what he was.
He's coming off the bench, right?
Yep.
And Kyle Lowry starts. He started one game where he actually had a pretty good line. When Kyle Lowry plays,
he's been starting. Yeah, and I'm going to guess...
When he plays starters minutes, he's effective. Like, he's actually pretty good. The problem is that his pace is so much slower than the rest of the league. And you're playing with Tyrese Maxey, who might be, he probably is the fastest player in the league. I know there's other candidates, but he's so quick.
And Maxey and Harris have stayed healthy. And
mm-hmm.
just Embiid, the injuries, that's what we always, I remember, like, should they sign to the max deal? Should they get him? Well, we don't know because he's always injured. Managed to stay fairly healthy, but it's just this year, it's like, well, we knew it was going to kind of come.
Yeah, he just had a wrenching of the knee. If he's back, we already saw a scenario where a play-in team went to the finals with Miami. So it's not unprecedented. The only problem for Philadelphia, I think they would very much like to avoid the 8. So if I were Nick Nurse and Daryl Morey, I would angle for the 7. so that I would get home court in the play-in and I could win that game so I could play Milwaukee. That would be my game plan if I ran the Sixers. But I don't run the Sixers, Adam. You know, they haven't called me yet.
Okay.
Miami, they're starting to get it. Their defense is turning up a bit. Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler are healthy. Tyler Hero's back. They beat the hopeless, horrible, tanking Trailblazers by 60 points. They're starting to get it going. And then there's the Hawks. There's the very curious case of the Atlanta Hawks, who will very likely make the play-in with Trae Young being out. But they just beat the Boston Celtics twice in 1 week in very dramatic fashion.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. It's just
well, you don't have to be a homer, Adam. I know that's your Celtics that lost. You know, I mean, I don't have much to say. I don't have much to say because your Celtics beat my Pelicans in New Orleans by double digits yesterday. But very dramatic game. I don't know how the Celtics blew a 30-point lead. I guess they just let off the gas and
they just gave up. They said game's over. And
yeah. And the Hawks were just like, nope, we're not done yet. And they played in the second half
and they just, yeah, they bounced back and the Celtics were just like, oh, we don't know how to turn it back on. The second game, it's just DeJounte Murray scored 44 points. Yeah. And 44 shots.
And like, to show you how meaningless the Blazers are, they played the Blazers between those two games and they still blew them. These tanking teams, man, Adam, I mean, we've always seen great, incredible examples of futility, but the futility I'm seeing right now in like Washington and Charlotte and Portland and Memphis, it's epic. It is epic.
There's a difference between tanking. Like, let's say Charlotte, they're tanking, but what are they doing? You're getting Vasilij Micic.
Trae Mann.
You're getting them 25, 30 minutes, which they're not. You're
getting Brandon Miller 20 shots a game.
Used to, yes. You're seeing what your young guys can do. Portland, you can't tank if you're, even your tanking guys are injured. So there's no Simons getting.
Did I read something that Chauncey Billups played five rookies?
There were five rookies, which I think is the second time.
Yeah, the Thunder did it a couple years ago.
I thought Golden State was the Warriors were the only team.
The Warriors
to do.
Did it before. Well, I remember the Thunder had a team that they started that they were younger than the Wisconsin Badgers. I remember that.
There's a difference between getting your end of bench players in and then just, well, this is a 10, you know, here's a 10-day guy. Well, let's just start him because you would want to see a Dyson Daniels. You'd want to see a not Keegan Murray.
Are you sure you want to see Dyson Daniels? Because I watched the New Orleans Pelicans, and Dyson Daniels just came back from knee surgery, and he's not ready to play yet. And we need to win games. I don't know about that, man. Now, if you're the Portland Trailblazers, you might want to watch Dyson Daniels. You got Scoot Henderson there, who's getting some minutes. Doo-wop Reed's not terrible.
Henderson just came back from an injury, so it's hard to even have garbage time when the garbage time players are even out.
Right. I agree. I know what you say. Like, you're not seeing the progress of the players that will be your future. You're just seeing players play because you need to play.
Shaden Sharp.
Yeah, Sharp's out.
Not Dyson Daniels. I got them mixed up.
Oh, it's okay. You just gave me some PTSD because I just had to watch a game where it was highly competitive.
Like Dyson let me go.
Okay, let me go my local rant, okay? There's only two games on the block on Saturday, or three, because of the Elite Eight. And one of them was a very competitive game between the Celtics and the Pelicans in New Orleans. And it was actually a game where I think both teams throughout the game wanted to win the game. I think the Celtics were pissed that they lost those two games against the Hawks. And the Pels wanted to prove that, you know, that their March winning streak was not a fluke. So I think they came out without Brandon Ingram to really want to win. And they got a 10-point lead early. And they put in Dyson Daniels, and he's just slow rolling along and turning the ball over. And Derek White's hitting threes. And I'm like, get this fucking dude off the court. He's not ready to play. I found out later CJ McCollum was banged up, and he had to get rest. But I'm starting to get the itch as a Pels fan that I'm starting to see progress. And I really want to win. Like, I'm a realistic NBA fan most of the time, Adam, but there are those moments when I watch the team that I root for and I'm like, fuck, I want to win. You know? No. That was a competitive game. And the score was indicative of a playoff game, 104 to 92. That's what playoff games look like, Adam. Not 145 to 85.
Yeah, it's homerism, but whatever. But just there's a difference between, just going back to the original topic, playing, developing people on your roster, and then just like Memphis. Well, we're reduced to giving injury exemption players 30 minutes a game because we literally have nobody else left.
Yeah, the only guy there that I've really liked is GG Jackson. He might be a good player in the future for Memphis, but everybody else. Are you going to see any of those players in the future? Probably not.
No, because they're not. You're not developing the guys who should be developed. Like Charlotte, I should be seeing Nick Smith 25 minutes a game, not whoever just signed for 10 days.
Right.
That's what tanking development is.
Like, you need to give 30 minutes to Nick Richards. And I'm not
Toronto,
saying it's like Nick Richards
yes.
is like a great team player. Just give him the minutes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Toronto, yes, give Grady Dick starting time and then 28 minutes game. I'm fine with that because that's what you do. I don't want to see this
Gary Trent Jr. and his expired. I only say that by Gary Trent Jr. is a good player and he's played for Toronto for a few years, but he's an expiring deal and I don't think he's coming back. So why are you giving him all the minutes? Just play. Not Precious Achiuwa. He's not there anymore. like they got play Jakob Poeltl. Just play Jakob Poeltl a lot. I don't know. I mean, like, they got other players in Toronto, right? I know Scotty Barnes is out, and RJ Barrett took a personal time off.
Yeah, take the season off. There's no need to come back. Let's get, you know, Chiabaji. Let's put him in for 25 minutes. He hasn't shown much there yet, but let's give him time. But just,
you know, do you know what one revelation has been? Because we have league pass this year, so we do watch these teams that are not that competitive. The one revelation, and I never realized until I actually saw him get the ball a lot, Kelly Olynyk point forward. Like, he's actually a good passer. I never expected that.
There's nothing wrong. You know, they traded for him with the expectation they're going to re-sign him. And so, okay, put him in a little bit more, have him do more point forward stuff. Try to get some anything, but it is what it is now, and especially in the East. Now, move on to the West, shall
yeah,
we?
Yeah, I'll tell you a team that seems to be on that track of let's start developing the younger guys, but it's actually turned into wins, and then in this case, an 11-game winning streak, is the Rockets. So, Alperen Şengün goes out. Okay, Jalen Green, we're going to give you the ball. Jalen Green has had the best month of his career, and they're on a roll. Fred VanVleet's playing well. Dylan Brooks is not getting in the way. Jabari Smith Jr. is not bricking a million threes. They're actually winning games. Can they catch up with the Warriors? I don't know, but they can give them a scare.
It's just a one-game difference.
That one game is big when you're a team like the Warriors who's won so many times that you know the games that you need to win and not win. That's why I think Curry looked a little disheveled after the 88th Draymond Green ejection against the Magic, because he realized, fuck, we really need to win this game. We're on the road, and I have to run the defense tonight. That's what I think it was. But they did win that game, by the way, without Draymond Green.
Here's the question. Will the Kings hold off?
So Kevin Werter's out for the season with shoulder surgery. And Malik Monk sprained his MCL. He probably won't be back for the early part of the postseason, which would potentially be a play-in scenario. That is sketchy. When Werder went out, I said, because, you know, Todd Weber is a friend of mine. He's a Kings fan. I told him. I said, I think they still got a shot. Then the Malik Monk injury happened. That's a death blow. I would say they're probably going to lose. They might go on like a 3 or 4 game losing streak.
Well,
unless Fox and Sabonis just absolutely take over games.
Here's who they have in April. Tell me how many games they're going to win. Doesn't matter home or away, just the teams. Clippers, Knicks, Celtics, Nets, Thunder, Pelicans, Suns, Blazers.
They can beat the Knicks. They could beat the Clippers at home. They can beat Brooklyn on the road. The other ones
are. So
you
think they're going to go 4-4?
And that Phoenix
Trailblazers.
Game is
both, Trailblazers is a win.
And that Phoenix game in Sacramento is the last game. That's going to have the big implications. So you know there's pressure on, and you know that Phoenix is going to be healthy. Phoenix hasn't been perfect either, okay? They've been win-loss, 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 too.
Well, the Suns have just been...
Like, they lost Spurs, but then they go beat the Nuggets. Like, what the hell?
Their inconsistency has not been... their friend. And what else isn't their friend? We knew what happened. Yeah, Bradley Beal only played 45 games so far.
Yeah, and he's also he's been basically taking the regular season off as a scorer. Okay, we'll let you facilitate. Then you can cook in the playoffs. I think they're going to try to turn it on in the playoffs. That's always a dangerous risk of the idea of, like, we could flip the switch, especially a team that's never been there as put together. But I guess that's the theory, that they can just put it together in the playoffs.
Anything in the else in the West you see?
Gabe Vincent's coming back. The Lakers do look good. Can the Lakers escape the play-in? No. Do I think we're going to see a scenario in which the Lakers have to play the Warriors and the loser is out of the play-in? No, I don't think so, because I think some of those teams, like the Kings and maybe even the Suns, might slip a bit. I think secretly, teams like Dallas and Phoenix and LA Lakers, I think they're secretly hoping that the Pelicans slip and that they wind up in the play-in, and those two of those three teams wind up getting safe. I don't know if it's going to happen, though. That's why I think the Pelicans are really going to try to push this month, in the month of April. They're going to actually try to win games. Dallas looks good. Dallas looks good. Kyrie Irving.
Dallas looks good. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma looks good. Minnesota looks good. The problem with
Oklahoma, I don't even want to talk about the top three because it flip-flops every day.
It flip-flops, but you have Oklahoma and Minnesota currently at the top. They could easily get the Lakers and Golden State, which is not the best matchups for two young teams who don't know the playoffs.
I agree with that. I think the teams that are under, I feel like the teams that have the most pressure, everyone talks about the Warriors and Lakers, the pressure's on, they're all getting older. I don't think so. I think the pressure is on Minnesota and Oklahoma City because they have the best records, and they've had the best records for most of the year, and now they actually have to prove it, and they've never been this far. That's where the pressure is. And the thing, too, is that we've seen some good regular season games with all three of these teams. Like, the Nuggets beat the Wolves in Minnesota, then the Wolves beat the Nuggets, and then the Thunder beat the Wolves. We've seen some good games, but I don't feel like there's been this, like, I don't get this consensus of who's better than who. You know what I'm saying? The Nuggets are the defending champions. I mean, that's a huge plus. And then the Clippers are the Clippers. They're just a great offense, and Kawhi is healthy. He even got his bobo with his knee, like, I think a month ago, and he didn't miss any time. So clearly there is, like, incentive. We need to be healthy. We need to win. We need to play now.
Very good. Anything?
Do you think that the Clippers are going to wind up in the Pelicans region, or do you think that something's going to happen there funnily between the 5 seed and the 9 seed? Do you think there's going to be a lot of traction?
There's no possible way to tell at this point, which is why, you know, we just, well, when do you want to tape this? We know the West is going to be literally to the last second anyways, even now as we get to this.
I agree with you about the Kings, that they're going to take a fall. You can't lose two key players and not take a fall, period.
Especially in this West, and you have the Rockets, who are extremely hot right now. And
They're going to lose eventually. I mean, they're going to lose.
The problem is, like we said, I could just name any team in the West, and it's like, well, who are they playing? Well, you got the Clippers coming up next. Then after that, you got Dallas. It's just like, Like, we need, if you have a team, who do you play? Oh, we got Memphis twice still. We got Portland. Oh, well, then they should be good. It's just Golden State, we'll just look at them at the end. They still got to go through the last games. Well, they have technically the easiest. They got Utah.
They get Utah twice, but by the way, Houston gets Utah and Portland at the end. So yeah, it's almost
two Jazz and a Portland, three easy wins. However, well, Warriors have to go to Dallas. The Warriors have to play the Pelicans in probably a very tough matchup. Warriors and Lakers, double. So
and because all these teams from a playoff perspective are in the cone of uncertainty, no one's going to sit.
There's no easy way out for any team.
There's no tanking playoff teams. I call it planking, where they know that, like, the Boston Celtics, I think, are going to do this in the last week, where they know they're in. They know they got it sealed up. They take it easy until the playoffs. I don't think anyone in the West is going to do that, Adam. I really, really don't. There's no wiggle room. Not even at the top between Minnesota, Oklahoma City, and Denver. So it's been fun, more competitive games, some really wild finishes. there was a really weird game between the Knicks and the Spurs team that's pretty much done. But Victor Wembanyama went for 40 and 20, and Jalen Brunson in a losing effort had 61 points. I think that's like the 10th or the 8th 60-point game this year, Adam.
Well, if teams are scoring 145, you know.
Well,
but,
Adam, were you in on that secret, super duper secret conference call where Adam Silver told the refs, you need to stop giving so many fouls to the star players? Were you in on that call? Because I was. You heard that story, right?
Yes.
So supposedly, so the only thing that's funny about it is like it's anything involving the government where the government says, oh, nothing's happening. And then they have to go back and say, well, this kind of did happen. And it creates all the suspicion. Oh, there are UFOs. I thought so. So the NBA said at the time there was no meeting between the league officials and the referee union about, hey, we need to start tapering down the fouls. The scoring is too high. Then they had to walk it back because there were confirmations from different sources like Woj. And they were like, actually, yeah, we did have a conversation about it, but it wasn't of consequence. The one thing I will find funny, though, is that the scoring has dipped just below the 2023 average when it was ahead for the entire season until that phone call. You think it's a coincidence, or like, do you have your conspiracy theory hat on?
No, because everything people expect in this TikTok age, everything, the CSI world, everything needs to be wrapped
Everything's
up.
A conspiracy. Yeah.
Everything is a conspiracy. And B, the second somebody brings it up, it needs to be resolved within an hour with commercials. Mm-hmm. Like, this has been going on for months. It's we tracked the data. This is getting very bad. We have a call scheduled in a couple of weeks. I scheduled a call. Okay, it happened to be now. As the outcry is getting bigger and bigger, and just it's convenient timing.
There's a phrase we always hear in sports, especially when the seasons start in all sports. Point of emphasis. Well, that's what happened. There was a point of emphasis made of, hey guys, we're parading people to the free throw line, and we need to lay back a little bit. Let them get physical. Playoff time's coming near. We need to let them get physical. We can't just let these superstars get brainwashed into believing that they can just run into the lane and get a free throw. And so we've been seeing a little bit more of the fisticuffs, just a little. I mean, this is how it is when you get to the end of the regular season and you go into the postseason. You get your dukes up. It's time to fight. You got to fight for your right to go to the playoffs, Adam. This is when it gets serious. That's why injuries like the ones that the Kings are suffering through are death blows, because if you don't have your full roster, you're done for. In today's NBA, we've said this so many times that if you don't have everyone, all hands on deck, you can't get to the finals. It's not possible. Except for the Celtics. If the Celtics don't have Jrue Holiday, I think they could still make.
Well, they'd have Malcolm Brogdon, who just is equally as serviceable. But we'll watch them.
That
we'll
team is well. The only reason I bring that up is they're on pace to win 60 games. I haven't looked at it closely. I don't think the Bucks can. No, they can't. They have 27 losses. But the Bucks are going to be likely a 2 seed. They're dangerous. I feel like the Bucks are pretty good. I saw them on a Sunday afternoon game, and they blew out the Thunder at home. They look good. Okay. I guess the Doctor's experiment is working, huh?
And speaking of experiments, the G League Ignite experiment has winded down.
Yeah, so they shut it down for good. So they did this starting in 2021 when they were able to get Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga to join the G League instead of going to college. And they were able also to do it with the Thompson. Well, not the Thompson twins. I think they were weren't they overtime elite, the Thompson twins?
Yes.
Okay, but they were able to get some other guys to join the G League for the 2022-23 crop. This one involving Ron Holland and Tyler Smith, it didn't really hit right. But the real reason why they're shutting it down, let's be honest, Adam, it always comes down to the almighty dollar. And what it really comes down to is the fact that the NIL transfer portal is basically just a front for we have free agency in college basketball. And now that we've had a couple of years of it, the number is starting to rise because these boosters are starting to collect these honeypots together with NIL collectives to say, okay, we're going to pay really big money to either keep our players here in the school to be competitive teams, or to recruit them out of high school. And I guess the NBA just waved the white flag and said, it's not worth the fight.
It really isn't. And it's okay. There's a couple of things you could say. Well, yes, they got Jalen Green. Yes. Kuminga, Scoot Henderson.
Mm-hmm, that's I forgot about him. Yes.
You forget. There's also Isaiah Todd's. Mm-hmm. There's Michael Foster Jr. Remember him?
No.
He was a G League Ignite player. Yeah. Didn't get drafted. Played, I believe, one game with 1 minute for Philly, and now he's back in the G League.
And there's no and there wasn't going to be a history of, oh, look at all these other successes like Jaden Hardy. That was going to be a very small list. Dyson Daniels. That was going to be a small list.
And it's hard to compete when Ignite, I believe, paid, what, $500,000 or a million? And it's reported that Bronny James is getting upwards of $5 million from his NIL.
So let me ask you this. This is not related. Well, it is kind of related to NIL and college sports, but it's not related to basketball. But I want your opinion. Did you the Matt Rhule coaches the Nebraska Cornhuskers. He had also coached the NFL, got fired, goes to Nebraska. He let it slip in an interview that a good quarterback in the transfer portal cost $2 million.
Yeah.
And supposedly, I think a lot of these boosts, this was something that coaches were basically told, do not say this in public, and Matt Rhule let it slip. What do you think the market is for good college players now and good high school recruits now in basketball?
I don't know. You know why?
3 million?
1 million? It's too
That's soon. The beauty of it. We have no idea because it's all shrouded in secrecy.
It's all shrouded in secrecy. But if they're really making 3 million, why are players declaring early to go to the NBA to become second round picks to pay, you know, get 500 grand, if that?
Like, if, say Iowa just comes back and says, hey, Caitlin Clark, we'll give you 10 million to come back one more year. Would you do it if you're Caitlin Clark?
She probably wouldn't, but I remember Drew Timmy was like, I get paid more to stay at Gonzaga than I would ever make in the NBA.
Yeah, it's Zach Edey. I can guarantee you Zach Edey got paid. Guarantee it. When you're a top player in college, you usually go to the NBA. And if you, even if you don't make it in the NBA, you usually go pro. If you don't go pro, that now tells me, Adam, that you got a good NIL payment.
But everybody's still going pro and everybody's still declaring. So,
and then there's the transfer portal.
There's a transfer portal, which we're not going to get into that. That's a complete, it's almost a disappointment because I
don't like the messiness of it. Oh, I'm going to join the transfer portal, but I'm going to leave my option open to return and I'm going to declare for a draft. It's like, all right, dude, you're leaving all your options open. You opened up your DMs. I get it. That's all you had to say. You know, it's not that complicated.
But I believe I could be wrong with the stat, and it said last year 40% of all college Division I players transferred.
It's going to be higher next year.
But it's just like, why? There's no point of even hiring a coach anymore if you're going to have literally half the players every year go.
That's why I do give credit to Danny Hurley, because you have to re-recruit your team every year. So some people are like, yeah, well, Danny Hurley was just able to retain his UConn guys to get to the Final Four again. I don't think so. I think he actually had to recruit and get some other transfers to go there and make it all work again. That's hard. That's really hard to do.
The good thing, you know, you could transfer twice or three times and not have to sit out. Like, no, you can't have every year I'm going to go to four schools in 4 years and whoever pays me the most every year. Like,
you know what that sounds like? That sounds like the NBA. The difference is that those players are very, very successful. And if Hall of Fame players switch teams, nobody's mad at them. They're mad at the teams for not keeping them.
But it's just, I didn't get, you know, I wasn't on the starting. It's very rare. You either have like a small school guy. Well, I started. I want to go up to the next level. Okay. It's the, I'm here as a freshman. I didn't get 25 minutes a game. Well, I'm just going to leave now.
I mean, look. If we had NIL in 2020, do you think Brendan Paul would have been a drug mule for P. Diddy? I don't think so.
Look at you getting all topical. But either way.
So those who don't get it, Brendan Paul was like this shooting guard for Syracuse, and he is all up in the Diddy business. And it's pretty funny, actually. Well, the situation's not funny, but him beginning.
Going back to the G League, it's very hard to get these 18-year-old kids and going to say, we will develop you, but you're also going to play next to this 33-year-old guy who has three kids and is trying to make his mortgage.
And you're
going to
be coached by basically ex-coaches in college and in the NBA who the NBA is paying to be in this spot. And that wasn't working either. The only one who was able to basically get a job out of that was Kevin Ollie. And I don't think he's going to keep the job in Brooklyn. You know,
I don't think he's going to either, but he's having a fair shot right now.
So there was no upward trajectory in the G League Ignite. That's the long story short.
It's kind of hard when you're playing against any
capitalism.
G League team.
You're playing against capitalism.
With all professionals who all want to make the NBA, who want to get called up. The G League kids know, like, they can't get called up, so I'm playing with this kid. I know I have to defer to him every shot, every time, because I'm trying to develop him. Well, how am I going to get called up if I'm sitting here? So it was a very awkward situation.
Let me ask a stupid question. If the G League Ignite team was actually good, because they had a really bad record, if they were actually good, do you think they would have shut it down?
No.
Okay. So they basically got – what's that word that they were using in the Major League Baseball with the Expos? Contraction? They basically contracted the team?
They basically contracted the team. There's two things. Number one, if it was successful, they would just start paying the kids more. Mm-hmm. Number two, I forget what number two was.
I'll tell you one. I'll tell you my number one is that it also wasn't a spearhead for a revenue deal from a TV perspective of maybe this will be more profitable for the G League to get a better TV contract or streaming contract, and it wasn't. Like, nobody was watching. Nobody was watching their games. I'm being serious.
Yeah, there's no buzz for the G League. You have players
I'll watch the Pels developmental teams in Birmingham, but outside of that, no. I don't watch G League games, do you?
I mean, I catch them at work once in a while.
I watched the exhibition
main Celtics, but
I watched the exhibition when Ignite played Wembanyama's team a year ago. I saw that.
Everybody did, and they thought this was a thing. And also, the second thing I was going to say, it didn't help that they lost on all their recruits next year. Because in theory, if the G League Ignite was this big thing that all the players are doing, you would get Cooper Flagg and then the Boozer Twins.
Correct. And the other thing I've noticed too, Adam, and this is on the college side, I know we're going long with this topic, but the commitments I've noticed in school are much earlier now. People like Boozer will probably commit in the summer. Flagg's already committed to Duke. There's other players. AJ Nembenza, he's going to probably he's another big time recruit coming up. He's going to recruit. He's going to declare soon. These guys are getting the NIL deal early. That's the one thing I think the college basketball insiders are getting wrong. They don't like the fact that the transfer portal opens up during the tournament. The reason why I think they actually can't change it is because if they wait until after the tournament, all the deals are already done. It's like NBA free agency.
It doesn't matter. You can't have teams that are already in the tournament losing it. Well, you had, let's say, Providence who lost out. We're done. Okay, all the kids are transferring. Well, they've already gotten the kid who left from the
other school. Danny Wolf was one of the best players for Yale. Yale had a shocking upset of Auburn. Well, Danny Will jumped into the transfer portal. You know? I mean, you got to get the bag. We've
heard punishing
this phrase.
Good teams and marginally good teams for making the tournament.
Right. The only other thing too, I mean, I hope everybody enjoys the Final Four. I feel like offense is up there. Shocking. Can you believe that college just copies the NBA like that? It's weird. Yeah, I think that's it. I think the NBA is getting exciting. We're starting to see some chippiness. The standings are going to be very fluid, but a lot of good teams. A lot of urgency is kicking in. We're going to see Embiid again, even though he's not eligible to win MVP. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it will be interesting, and that will do it for us. So for Andrew Reisch, I'm Adam Murray. Have a good one.
Take care.